Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Looking for clarity, and the song that comes to mind is Round and Round We Go.
Yeah. Indeed.
My dad used to have a joke that the punchline was, if it ain't one thing, it's another.
There you go.
And that's the way it has worked this week. This is live call-in radio. That means we are actually in our studios, plural. Mine at home, Perry right downtown. I don't know what the mess looks like down there. I've been down for so long.
Ever changing. You know, that's ever changing downtown. You never know what's going on down here.
I'm sure it would all look like a strange city to me, other than I know the names of the streets.
No doubt.
But if you want to talk to us this morning about your portfolio, about the market, about interest rates, then give us a call. Magic numbers, 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. And if you are not registered for our December stock market update, our monthly update that is on most first Saturdays of the month, unless, of course, there's a holiday and we don't think anybody will be paying attention, then we skip a Saturday. But we still do it during the month. We started this monthly in February. And all of those, if you've missed them, phenomenal entertainment if you can't find anything
on
your DVR.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Just go to our website, iriradio.com, click on the video tab, and take your pick. You just have to scroll down to the bottom of the page. You know, what's interesting about, I hope what's interesting about these, since we spend a lot of time putting them together, is this is not the same old stuff every month. I mean, we work at trying to find new information that both educates you about investing processes, and then the market, what's actually going on at the time, and maybe you don't want to watch that part. And then we do Q&A. So that's our basic format. Let's educate people. Let's bring them up to date on the market as we see it, and then do Q&A. Anyway, they're all there. And if you want to be in line for an invite on December, I think it's December 7th.
5th. December 5th.
5th. December 5th. All you do is go to iriradio.com, and in the lower left-hand corner, the web link is there. A couple of clicks, your email. And if you cannot attend, then you'll get a link to watch the replay on your own schedule. As it is for now, we'll go on to what we have in the way of headlines. Now, there was a movie with Tom Hanks in it, and the
That actually doesn't narrow down the list a lot. There's a lot of Tom Hanks movies,
but there is a line in there that he had: "Stupid is, stupid does."
Oh, there we go. Our friend Forrest Gump. Yes,
there we go. Forrest Gump. Thank you, Perry.
You got it.
But even that line actually could have been quoted or created by Warren Buffett, the sage of Omaha. I'm going to read a quote from Warren Buffett. People start being interested in something because it's going up, not because they understand it or anything else, but the guy next door, who they know is dumber than they are, is getting rich and they aren't. And their spouse is saying, can't you figure it out too? It's so contagious. So that's a permanent part of the system. And that's why bubbles happen.
And that is the truth. You know, that's the FOMO. That's the fear of missing out. And it happens so fast and it spreads so quickly that when people look around and they see anybody making money anywhere, it's like, well, I got to get some of that. And the dangerous part, like Mr. Buffett mentioned there, was without understanding any of it, they have no idea what they're buying, why they're buying it, what might affect it. They just know it's going up and they're going to go get some regardless of any risks associated with that purchase.
So we look at the market and we make assumptions. We all have a bias. Well, if Trump gets elected,
believe it or not, yeah.
If Trump gets elected, this will happen. If Biden gets elected, this will happen. Everybody has an assumption about what's going to happen in the future. And too often people make investments based on those biases rather than taking a look at what's actually happening. You hear that Zoom prices zoomed up, and they did. So you want to be in on the Zoom together because my neighbor owns it, except that Zoom also unzoomed this week. Part of it, which is because of the big headline on Monday about Pfizer having a drug with 90% efficacy level in a big trial. And it's likely to be ready for production, actual release, commercial release, very, very soon. And so the market zoomed. A lot of things did. And then over the course of the week, we learn a couple of things. You have to transport it. Well, yeah, you got to get it out to the pharmacy and the physicians and to the hospitals. And of course, you have to transport it. So what's the big deal? The big deal is you have to send it in dry ice. It has to be kept at minus 80 degrees until you're ready to use it. Then you can thaw it. And if you don't use it within 5 days, you throw it away. That didn't cost you anything at all, did it?
Piece of cake. So instantly it was, well, sell Zoom and buy whoever makes dry ice, I guess. But that's how fast it happens. That's how quickly those things change. And does that mean Zoom is doomed? You know, I don't think so. I think there's going to be a whole lot of Zoom used for a long time. But that doesn't matter if you're trading the headline and if you're trading because other people are trading, that herd mentality, and all of a sudden it just cascades on itself and you get a big move. And then, like you said, Don, a little bit later, you stop and you look around and wait a minute. Maybe that wasn't the right thing to do. So, you know, that the look before you leap, that's pretty important.
Well, on Monday, the S&P broke above resistance. I mean, it pushed. It was a big, big abnormal day. Now, it didn't stay above resistance, the resistance being the previous all-time high. And it pushed up, and then some reality started to set in, and it backed off, and it backed off, and it backed off until it closed down for the day. Now, it didn't fall below a new support level. But it's in a new trading range. It's in a higher trading range. But higher trading ranges, when they can't penetrate the previous resistance level, are increasingly risky. But that doesn't matter because everything's zoomed up and we're going to have a vaccine and the election will be resolved and the economy, they're not going to shut down. Oh, the shutdown problem. Yeah, that's coming back up again because of all the... in fact, the last headline on the news just before we started was about the increasing deaths. 248,000 people are expected to die. You know, I understand if you have a family member dying and you have a friend dying, that's a big deal to you. But most of these deaths, people already have complications and they're in the late stages of life. I mean, you knew grandma and grandpa were going to die. You just didn't know it was going to happen this soon. And I'm sorry that happens. I don't mean to sound insensitive. But the news hypes things that are not abnormal. In our population, those 248,000 people all across the country, they're not happening in your community next door, that's spread across, well, as Obama said, 57 states. It's less than 1% of the population. And we have more than that will die in the same time period from auto accidents. But that's not a big deal because those are all independent causes. It's called a car.
Right. And it's all a matter of framing. It's a matter of we talk about that a lot with statistics that get introduced into investing. Same thing happens. Things get get hyped, numbers get inflated, numbers get exaggerated, and you need to take a step back, look at a little bigger picture and see, okay, so what are we really looking at here as far as potential risks to me personally? And that can give you a little better view of what's going on out there.
Thanks for digging me out of that hole, Perry. One of the areas that's really hot is real estate, both locally in many areas of town. There are some parts of town I think are probably suffering. But across the country, with the shutdowns, the real estate market for single-family homes is basically on fire.
It is.
Good kind of fire. Big demand. And what's interesting this time around, well, a lot of the housing construction is being done by major corporations who do not sell them. They are building communities around our country to rent the houses out because apparently millennials are so used to renting and calling the landlord when the faucet drips. They don't want to be responsible for that, but they want a house in the backyard to raise their kids. And somebody to call and say, you know, the toilet's running. Will you send somebody over to take care of it? And I learned how to do that a long, long time ago. But there's a big market there. And I did some research on that this week. It was really kind of interesting to see what kind of demand there is for people who want a house but don't want to own it and are willing to pay in the case of American Homes for sale, I guess, for rent. American Homes for Rent. It's the name of the company. They have a 7% increase in rents. High demand.
It's anyway, a big deal, especially among millennials. They don't want to be anchored to a spot geographically. They may be able to upgrade their job if they can move, in which case they want to be able to go. And if you're, you know, sitting on a 30-year mortgage, now you've got a lot of business to take care of before you can move. If you're renting, that can be a much, much quicker exit, and it's easier to deal with. And there are some places where, you know, the monthly rent for a home is less than a mortgage payment because home prices have exploded so much higher. So there's a lot going into that. And you're right, Dom. Rentals are increasingly popular these days.
I think it's break
time. We are. We're right at the quarter hour here. Might as well go ahead and get our break. I'd like to remind everyone that December 5th is our next webinar, our monthly market update. You can register for that at IRIRadio.com. Just go to IRIRadio.com, go to the webinar page, a couple of clicks, and you will receive an email. And on December 5th, after the show, about 9:15, you can click that link and you will be on the air live with us. And like Don explained earlier, you're going to get some education about some segment of the market. And then a market update lets you know what we think things are looking like out there. And then we always have plenty of time for your questions. That's one of the most important parts of our webinars, to make sure everyone can get their questions answered, get them answered to the best we can. And sometimes it really does help to be able to see the charts, see what we're talking about, and it can really give you some clarity. It's well worth your time. Again, you can register for that at IRIRadio.com. If you've got questions this morning, feel free to give us a call, 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. We would be glad to talk to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Happy days are here again, the skies above are clear again, let us sing a song of cheer again, happy days are here again, all together.
Well, after the big zoom up and then a correction down, and we finish Friday with happy days are here again. Market had, at least the indexes had a good day. And it's important to draw a distinction between the appearance and reality. And one of those things, I mentioned just kind of in the cross, this last segment, the shutdowns, which look like they're coming in a number of states all over again with the rise in the virus stuff. But one of the things showed up on Twitter this week, towards the end of the week, was Elon Musk. He went out one day and had four consecutive virus tests, COVID tests. Two of them came back positive and two of them came back negative. testing on the same day in about an hour. Now, which one do you believe? Mm. If you believe the two
got,
that he's
in. He's got COVID-9. That's half of
yeah, right. Half of it, okay.
Half of COVID-18, yeah. So.
I like that. But something interesting just happened, I think it was on Friday in New York. Governor Cuomo said he's going to shut down the state again with this rising virus problem. And he has been sued by some individual stating that the governor does not have authority to shut down businesses. And the state court agreed.
Right.
Of course, Cuomo didn't. So he's appealing to the state Supreme Court. The conclusion in the lower court level was that the state legislature can make these decisions, but it is beyond the governor's power to impose those kinds of restrictions. This is going to be interesting
it
to
is.
Watch
and,
this
you know,
play
we,
out.
We've heard that before in a number of states, and I've just been wondering when's it going to start? When's are people going to begin to push back and say, wait a minute, this has stopped making any sense. They were already having problems with New York with their red zones, and you know this business can't open, the business next door can't open, or the one across the street can't open. It's like this, it's you know so arbitrary that it didn't make any sense. And once it stops making sense and it's destroying your livelihood, you're going to need a better explanation than the governor said so. So that little battle has begun.
And it will, I think it will spread rapidly across the country. You look at the hypocrisy of so many of the politicians who say, you can't travel, but I am. You have to wear a mask, but I'm not. You can't have your family together for Thanksgiving, but we are. We just hope you don't spot it. Yeah, the hypocrisy always comes back to bite you in the arse.
Right, and it's nothing new in politics, but it is. This is kind of highlighting the issue right now.
Yeah, what's this front and center of the news?
Yep.
Anyway, one of the things that has happened with the virus announcement or the vaccine announcement last Monday is that certain sectors of the market just had a heyday. The next day they collapsed. I mean, and this brought back to me a song of the Slackers, and I never know who was playing the song, but I remember, you probably remember this song, "Time You Know Can Go So Slow," and this is true in the market too, where that's part of why I like this. That seems to me the frustration of the market. Time, you know, can go so slow. Sometimes it goes too fast. And there's the times you hate that will always last, while the ones you love don't last. Talk to me while I breathe. Love me now before I leave. It's just the spin I'm in. It's just the spin I'm in. And that's kind of where the market is right now. The fundamentals make absolutely no sense, but speculation is lots of fun.
So if you're one of those people that believes in the efficient market theory, that you believe the market always has all the information that anyone can have and all prices are accurate all the time, you would have had a tough time selling that this week because things changed radically. What was up was down and what was down was up day by day. Those companies didn't gain and lose hundreds of millions of dollars of market cap overnight because there was big substantial changes in their business model. It was because of a headline and because of investor sentiment, and that's all. So there are no equations to measure that. You can look at that after the fact and decide that people were for or against something based on where the dollars went. But there's no way to align a portfolio to deal with that kind of move, which is our contention from the beginning that markets aren't efficient, especially in the short term, and that pretending that you know, a long-term average is going to help you get through a time like that just doesn't make any sense because sometimes things change and change right back. Sometimes they change and never change back again. And you have to be able to adapt to that.
Well, we saw a lot of those quick reversals this week, but with the assumption that there is a vaccine and life will return to normal quickly.
Right.
That's one of the hopes in the market. And there are companies that are trying to address that. And if you're ready for Big Brother, then you're probably ready to go back to the movies when the movie theaters open up. And I don't remember which chain it was, but this big national chain is preparing to reopen as soon as they're allowed in this next go-round. And one of the ways they are going to provide confidence for moviegoers is they are developing a system to verify whether or not you have been vaccinated before you get into the theater. Shades of Orwell's, wow. 1984.
No kidding.
Not that we haven't had some others already, but that's a pretty big step. You want to buy a movie ticket? Show me your vaccination certification.
Yeah, we used to have, when vaccinations were done with that little cluster of needles, you had that big mark on your arm. You could show them, hey, look, I've been vaccinated, but now there's nothing. So I guess the paperwork is what you've got to have. I saw that this week, Don, just as another aside, I saw there was a growing black market in negative COVID tests. So,
of course,
all of a sudden they're being sold out there. If you need to prove you don't have it, well, just go buy a negative test and off you go. I was just like, here we go. Now it's going to get interesting.
That little pockmark on your arm, that was a smallpox vaccination.
I don't say that. That means I am real old. So yeah. Don't.
when I was in high school, I had an adverse reaction to some stuff, and the smallpox vaccination was it. I had to learn how to administer them to myself on a regular basis. So my scars have been blended into all sorts of things.
There you go.
One of the things that's supposed to happen is that jet travel will resume quickly. Hotel reservations are going to rise, and destination resorts are going to be repopulated. That's all one of the big swings that happened this week. I'm going to jump ahead here on some of my notes for what's still coming up. But the exchange-traded fund JETS, J-E-T-S, had a really big day. And with that, it brought back to mind another song by Dionne Warwick, was helping the music, I think it was by Bacharach. Do You Know the Way to San Jose? So with the vaccine, the assumption is everybody's going to get an airplane and fly. Well, I hate to throw some cold water on this, but I that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Yep.
Because I read an article, and I posted it in my daily emails to advisors, that 85% of people who are frequent flyers, they accumulate frequent flyer mails, miles, 85% said, we're not ready to get on a plane. Well, that's a little different than the assumption that things are going to return to normal.
That's a big number of regular flyers who are saying, nope, no thanks, not yet. That's one of those changes that's going to be slow. And, you know, from the business side, that they're already saying, you know, we're never going to go back to what we were doing. We found out we can do without that.
Well, and businesses are figuring out they don't need to send people around the world for a lot of stuff.
Sure.
And so Zoom is not going to die. GoToMeeting's not going to die. GoToWebinar, the other online meet face-to-face. I mean, I had a meeting with a client. She said, I don't have a camera for my computer. So you got family members that don't have a camera. Well, buy them. You know, it's $25 or $30. You can send them a computer camera, and they can attach it to their old computer, and you can still have a face-to-face meeting. Software's easy, and Zoom is free. I mean, and for one-on-one stuff, that's a deal.
Pretty good price, yep.
But that's going to keep people off of airplanes, even though I think it's Love and JetBlue have both said they are going to start selling the middle seats. So distancing on airplanes is not a problem. Distancing in the middle of the night to burn down your city hall is not a problem. But if you want to get together with your family on Thanksgiving, that is a problem.
That's a big problem, yeah.
Yeah. There we are, back on the hypocrisy.
Go figure that out, yeah.
Okay, so what we're watching is that the assumption is that there'll be a return back to stores once the stores open up again. And we can talk about that when we come back from this break.
All right, let's go ahead and get out of here. We're at the bottom of the hour. I'd like to remind everyone that we do have our next webinar coming up in December, once a month, first Saturday of the month. It's our regular market update webinar. You can register for that at IRIradio.com. That is IRIradio.com. If you have questions you'd like to talk about this morning, anything about the economy, the markets, which have been gyrating a bit this week, and anything that's in your portfolio, if you'd like a second opinion on whether it should stay there or not, we'd be glad to talk that over with you at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. You are listening to Investor Resources here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Well, that was good timing on that bump. We need Inspector Clouseau to figure this out. Because with the vaccine announcement, and Pfizer's is not the only one that looks like it's really ready to come to market, except as I mentioned in the first segment, it's how do we get it to market is a bigger problem that the stock market investors have not really come to grips with yet. But there it raises a whole bunch of questions. And we started to talk about one a moment ago, which is, are we going to get back on planes and resume our business travel and our vacation travel like we have in the past? Well, maybe. And the airlines are trying their best to get you back. A lot of people who are in business have used airline credit cards because you rack up miles and it makes it easier to upgrade. And I got an email from United saying that if I use my business card a little more often, they are reducing the requirement to move up into 1K status. All I need is to buy 36 flights. And I'm thinking 36 flights. Let's see. How many times have I left the house this week? I went to the chiropractor.
That could take a while. Yeah.
I went to the chiropractor on Monday. I've been to the grocery store once and the post office twice. 36 flights. I'm a long way from getting 1K status this year.
Yeah, you got to get a chiropractor that's like in Tampa, Florida, and then
how about San Jose?
There you go, San Jose. You can go back and forth. That'll get your flight number up there.
One of the other businesses supposed to revive are the gyms and the spin studios.
Sure.
However, Peloton has beaten those businesses up.
Peloton's very popular. They're another company like Zoom. They, as soon as the lockdown hit, boy, Peloton just, they went through the roof. And they were the ones, they took a hit during the rotation that occurred this week also. We'll see if that's going to sustain itself or if there's a little more room for Peloton to grow.
So, and then are you going to abandon buying stuff online and not having to go anywhere? It shows up at your doorstep and... I mean, so you got some extra cardboard for the recycle week, but
I have noticed that there's a lot more cardboard. But I'm telling you, it's our youngest daughter actually has led the charge on that. She almost gets mad at us anytime we're talking about going to the store for anything. It's like they'll bring that, you know, you don't need to go anywhere. It's like, yeah, thanks for that update.
Preserve the economy. Yeah. Don't burn gasoline.
Man, I'm telling you.
Okay, we have a call from Paulsbo. Larry, you're on the line with Don and Perry. Good morning to you.
Good morning. What I thought was most interesting was that California actually turned down a tax on corporations. They said Prop 15, we don't want it. Why? Because it'll just filter down to us, the homeowners, once again in California. We're not going to be outsmarted this time. So I thought that was very interesting.
Larry, that issue has been a long time coming. And actually, California put Republicans in the Senate this year. I mean, that's a big change. When I lived in California, I was down in San Diego County, and it was the Republican county in the state, dominated it. And California was led by Republican governors, but that has changed over time. It looks like maybe the pendulum is swinging back. That's a really good point, Larry. Thanks for calling, and you have a great week.
It is so good to see people actually think that through and understand, wait a minute, that tax is on us. We should stop that. So that's good.
Well, part of that is California has an awful lot of immigrants from south of the border. They have seen socialism face to face, and they did not like
the left's
presentation of a return to socialism. Because they came here to get away from
sounded
it.
Sounded way too much like home. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Well, this changes. This rotation that's going on in the market is going to take some more quarters probably to actually figure out what's actually going to happen. I mean, the election will get resolved sometime in the next month, but by the 14th of December, states have to certify, and between now. I mean, we've been through this before back in 2000. We're going to get through this one again. But the market is trying to figure out what's going to happen with shutdowns, with the virus, how much of this is real. And the longer it goes on, the skepticism in the public continues to rise. Are we going back to the office 5 days a week? Well, probably not. There are a lot of people who have moved into the middle of the country, the flyover country, get away from urban problems and taxation, and they're there because they can work online. Even if they get paid less, the cost of living is lower, so they're okay with that.
They are, and so are many companies. Companies are finding that people are actually putting in more hours from home than they were at work. Plus, the company doesn't have to worry about providing a safe, COVID-free workspace. That becomes the employee's job because they're working in their own residence. So it transfers that little bit of responsibility over to the employee. And I, quite frankly, Donna, our business has been in the cloud for years, and we've had that capability for a long time, and it's great. I think it's a big upgrade, and that's one of those things that's not going to change with the vaccine. I believe.
Well, that's true. I mean, we started this transition. My goodness, 10 years ago, in terms of where we moved our, how we operated the software systems.
Correct.
We were with a well-established company that we liked to run the core of our business, but we still had to maintain physical software updates. I had to keep buying new servers because all the software required more. The database was bigger. And we finally said, this operates in the cloud. We got to figure out how to do that. And the company we were with said, no, you don't want to do that. That's
dangerous.
Not safe.
Yeah, that's not safe.
Well, here we are 10 years later, and they're still operating on servers in the user's office. I mean, this just doesn't make a lot of sense anymore. That's one of the big changes in the business world, and some companies have been winners and others have not, and it is not over. There's a lot of competition for doing business in the cloud. But one of the things that all of this has created, and we see a lot of it in the youth who have not been able to go to school, that not being able to go to school and not have interaction with their friends and not being able to play outdoors as they're used to or being made to. I mean, you go out and play football. I am playing football. I got my gamer right here. It's on TV. Well,
right.
That doesn't exercise the body the way, but it's a stress management issue. And there's a lot of factors of stress that have come with this investing. And even for those of us who are in the business, learning to manage the stress and the emotions of what goes on in the market is really important for making good decisions. And that's why if you're on our webinars and here on the radio, we talk about what's your process? How are you making decisions? What are your investment rules? We have rules, and when the rules get violated, the trade gets done. John Maynard Keynes, famous economist, we quote him frequently on one quote. We don't go through his whole library, but he is known for having said, "When the facts change, I change my mind." What do you do, sir? It's a new set of facts. Okay, you made some assumptions. You thought it was going to go up, and it's going down. Now, are your biases in control of the trade, or is your process in control of the trade?
That's where there's absolutely no substitute for process, because if you are, if you don't have a set of rules and requirements for what happens when things happen in the market, you're left to the emotional feedback that you're going to get, and that, and there's going to be a lot of it, especially if you're a newer investor, especially if you're new to having money in the market. Once you have skin in the game, everything changes, and all of your time frames get compressed, and the pressure goes up. And once you're making those decisions in a high stress situation, that's when people make the biggest mistakes. That's when you think either I have to do this instantly or I'm going to lose everything. Those are the most dangerous times, and that's when you need that process in place before those things happen, so that you have a structure to work through to get yourself out of those situations, work your way through them. And it still doesn't mean you're always going to be right, but it means you're going to have a much better chance of making a higher quality decision, and that's the best you can do.
So what often happens is that we look after the fact for an explanation of some major move. The investor, publication has rightly, I think, renamed stock market analysts as stock market astrologers.
There you go. That's really accurate.
They invent a new story to explain every little cough that happens in the market. You don't need to know why, because you will never know the underlying reasons. When somebody and a group of people collectively sell enough stuff to cause the price to drop, they all have different reasons for doing so. And for every share that's sold, somebody else is saying, that's a good buy. You know, I'll give you my money. I want that. Because there are always two decisions. This deal stinks. Boy, is that a good deal. Those two decisions are being made every time a stock changes hands, move from one account to another. It stinks in somebody's, and it's a sweet deal in somebody else's. How do you deal with that, sir? Well, we have a set of rules. We use charts. What we don't do is assume that long-term averages will work out in the end. And just over the last 20 years, the last two decades, there's been a major change in the relationship of stock and bonds. And yet, the efficient market theory, which assumes that all public and all insider information is always known at every moment in the market, and the crowd makes its best choice, which is why the tech bubble dropped 89% in 2.5 years, because there were a bunch of people making really smart choices back in March of 2000.
All those prices were correct. Yeah, all those prices were correct. Nobody made a mistake. Nobody got overextended. Nobody got overexcited. There was no irrational exuberance. It was all just correct pricing all the way through. That doesn't make any sense. That can't be true.
And everybody was happy to live through the next 15, 16 years getting even. It didn't cause any distress in anybody's family life. That's the assumption of modern theory. And yet, we can't figure out how to actually live with that when the relationship between stocks and bonds has changed in that same time period, and yet the theory says it does not matter. Well, it does matter. Even the average return over the last two decades is only about one-third of the historic average return of a stock-bond portfolio. But you're going to assume, using modern portfolio theory, that you're going to get a return that then is 3 times better than what we've seen for the last two decades.
And the key thing there is that you're going to eventually see those returns come back. The problem is with modern portfolio theory, with that pie chart, is that there is no time frame, and eventually can mean as long as it takes, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. So if you're in retirement, that's just too bad. Your portfolio is going to be decimated the entire time you're in retirement. And you make no adjustments for that, because it'll all work out eventually. And unfortunately, those time frames just aren't realistic for people. Our time frame is, we are at our last break of the morning. We have a full segment left to go. We have plenty of time to get your questions on the board. If you'd like to give us a call at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. If you are not receiving our weekly email newsletter, The Week in Review, That is a really good look at the week's news. Let you know what's kind of important to look at, things that you might be able to safely ignore, just noise out there. If you'd like to sign up for that, just send us an email at help@iriradio.com. That is help@iriradio.com. Just put week in the review in the subject line, and then in the body, we just need your first and last name. We'll get you into our database, and you will begin receiving that on Monday. Again, we have a full segment left. Plenty of time to get your call on the board. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count.
Not only is that true in Las Vegas, it's true in the market. And unfortunately, it is becoming very, very clear that that decision has to be made by many small businesses that are just simply not going to survive without a stimulus, which is not on the table in Congress. Goldman Sachs did a survey of 10,000 small business owners. They have more than that as clients. And 54%, 52% have actually stopped paying themselves any money for operating their business, trying to preserve capital. And at some point in time, and others have already done this, have said, there's no survivability here. Let's preserve what's left. You can't count your money while you're sitting at the table. I mean, once you realize you've reached this point of no return, what are you going to spend yourself into bankruptcy? Not voluntarily, not if you can avoid it. And what's going to happen, nobody knows, but there's a lot of commercial vacancies which are going to be around for a long time. In fact, one of the things that came to mind in one of the earlier rabbit trails my mind was running down was the people who are trading stocks because it looks like it's a casino. And sure. Earlier in the year, we've talked about this. There are a lot of phone apps. Robinhood's one of the biggest one, where people without a lot of money on their phone, not knowing what they're buying, but it's a cheap stock and they get a lot of hype. You got to buy this. And, you know, look how cheap this is. And JCPenney was one of those stocks that they were bidding on earlier in the year when it was in the low dollar amount. Well, JCPenney's not listed anymore because it was in bankruptcy, and instead of just going out of business, JCPenney was purchased by none other than Simon Properties. Who's Simon Properties? Well, for one, they own the Tacoma Mall, and they own a lot of other malls. I think they are the second largest mall operator in the United States. They did not want JCPenney to close its stores, as what happened with Sears, which meant that foot traffic collapsed, which means that sales collapse, which means rents collapse, which means their malls are in trouble. So buy JCPenney to keep them open so that they have some sales. There's traffic in the mall. I mean, this is self-preservation on an industry running shopping malls that has been in decline for two decades. Now, they're not going to go away. But I know if you travel around your community, you will find what used to be a mall in your town that's been replaced by a bigger operation somewhere else nearby. And those little malls have some vacancies in them. But if you take the Tacoma Mall or the Northgate Mall or in Silverdale Mall and you walk through there and you find there's a lot of empty stores in here. Somebody owns the mall.
There's going to be a substantial realignment there. That's where there's going to be some big rotation. How's that going to work out? Nobody knows. And like you said, Don, you know, malls were in decline for a decade before COVID hit. And this has just really accelerated everything that was coming down economically for malls anyway. There was a time, you know, the mall was a happening place. That's where people went to hang out. And, you know, have a bite to eat and just spend an afternoon. And that no longer happens. And so that there's going to be a huge shift. No one knows where that's going. But companies like that who own a lot of mall space, they have millions of square foot of business space that they need to fill. And they are not sure what they're going to do with that.
No, but the mall operators, major mall operators, are actually buying up the businesses that are operating in there just to keep foot traffic up so that they can keep the other spaces rented and people come in and they do still spend money. I mean, maybe you're going to buy diamond jewelry online, but more than likely, you know, I'd want to see it before I actually bought it online. You're going to walk into a mall or you're going to go to a jewelry store that you like and trust, and you're going to physically show up so you can see what it is you're actually getting instead of trusting it online. But if you're buying corn chips, you don't need to go to Albertsons or Fred Meyer because Amazon will send them to you. In fact, Walmart will send them to you. Fred Meyer probably drop them off. Safeway, you know, they deliver to the home. So just make a phone call. You get those. That's not a big deal. Major purchases, different. The malls have to keep those big stores open. But that's an issue. One of the things that has happened is we've seen real estate have some spikes on the prices, real estate ETFs, and some of the real property stocks. I mean, they're bouncing around a lot. And as I've cautioned the advisors I talk to each week, you can buy real estate exchange traded funds, but look at what they actually own. And if they're shopping mall and office building owners, hotel property, vacation property owners, you may find they get cheaper before they actually start getting better. But if they're actually renting homes, residential rental, they're in big demand. So it's a function of what's inside the exchange-traded fund. Does that make any sense? One of the ones that did really well this week, this is the reversal, the vaccine swing, if you will, was energy stocks popped up. Big swing up.
For the first time in a long time, yeah.
Well, in a lot of years. They've been in a long downtrend. Well, the Green Deal looks like they're going to kill those. So is that pop positive in the long term? It's a little bit of relief, but what are your rules to actually put that in a portfolio and hang on to it? It's just like the airlines, which are hanging on to a cliff with their fingernails to avoid bankruptcy. And if the government doesn't give them more money to stay open, airlines are going, one, to consolidate, and some of them will not make it. We don't know which ones, but that's a bet you have to make. And if you just make that bet saying, we'll always have airlines, yes, but which ones you put your money in and know that they will always be there? Well, modern portfolio theory says it doesn't matter. You're just going to own airlines. They'll be okay. But ask the CEOs what they think their fortunes are in the coming year. They're not as optimistic as many investors were this week.
Sure, they know they're looking at a huge headwind that is not likely to change. The big problem, part of the problem, is the length of the COVID shutdowns that's going on. People's habits change. The way you do things change, the way you do business change, the way you travel for entertainment changes, and it's not going to just switch back like a light switch when people say, hey, we've got a vaccine, now everything's fine. It's not just going to return like that. It's going to take a while because it's been a while and people saw a different way to do things. That's the kind of thing, those kinds of shifts usually take decades, and coronavirus has made it happen in this year, and that's the big difference.
My wife was relating a conversation with one of our family members, saying that the daughter-in-law is not going to get on another airplane. And what they've decided to do as a family is they're buying an RV. Wherever they vacation is going to be drivability. Airplanes are no longer on the agenda. And I said, well, I hope they've shopped some of these things, because right now RVs are in very high demand.
And I hope they already saw Paris, because it's tough to get there in an RV. So,
and, as is Hawaii.
Indeed, yes. Same issue, yeah.
Yeah, but we have 49 other states. Oh, is that 56? We have 56 other states that they can drive to. If they got the time to do that.
That's a lot of territory. True enough. There's a lot of places to go before you have to get to a different continent.
But we do not know what the point you made, Perry, is absolutely on point. We do not know what all these consumer changes, behavior changes are that are going to be permanent. The odds are it's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way back to our old normal. We probably are dealing with a new normal, and we don't know what that is yet, which means that you got to pay attention to actually what's going on instead of just assuming that in the long run, it'll all work out. Yes, it will, but it may work out differently than our parents and our grandparents thought it would. Register for our December workshop by going to irradio.com. That's irradio.com. You can also watch the November one if you missed that. Give us a call during the week at 800-317-9119, and Lord willing, we'll be back next Saturday. Have a great weekend.